Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik are with you on this Tuesday morning. And as we do every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Caroline Fenton from Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. I'm great. How are y'all?
We are really good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So we'll get to the Titans news here in just a minute, but I do want to get your thoughts real quickly on the beatdown by the Georgia Bulldogs last night against TCU. 65-7, the final score, the largest margin of victory, not only in national championship game history, but in bowl history in general. What did you make of that statement by Georgia last night, and how do you kind of encapsulate this two-year run for Kirby Smart and this Bulldogs program?
It was a very short-lived largest margin of victory in a bowl game ever for the LSU Tigers, winning their bowl game 63-7.
It was.
So that was the fun couple of weeks while we had it. Look, I knew that Georgia was going to roll. I've been saying that all week long. I just kept asking myself, what more does TCU need to show me to prove to me that they can be competitive in this game, that they belong in the national title game? And I was starting to feel guilty, but I thought, you know what? I think Georgia is just that good. And I think we saw last night that that's the truth. I didn't think it was going to be that bad. I thought TCU was going to be able to put up at least a few more points, maybe multiple touchdowns. But I mean, it was just a beatdown of the epic proportions. And I think that we all need to start looking at Stetson Bennett a little bit differently. I understand that you might not like his personality. I understand that you might not like the fact that your team may play Georgia every single year and Stetson Bennett made your team look bad. I get it. I understand. But I feel like there's this very strange vitriol towards Stetson Bennett from the rest of the college football world. And you know what? He was a walk-on at Georgia his freshman year. He played JUCO football for a couple of years, then came back, was buried at the bottom of the depth chart, worked his way back up to his starting job, and oh yeah, has won two back-to-back national championships and was a Heisman finalist. And whether you think that was deserved or not, that is the truth. That is what happened. So instead of looking at Stetson Bennett like he's some, you know, quote-unquote punk, I think we need to start giving Stetson Bennett the respect that he deserves. And last night was, I mean, just the cherry on top for that point that I think we need to start looking at Stetson Bennett like he is the kind of college quarterbacks that we look at other college quarterbacks that have won either one or multiple national titles and have been Heisman Trophy finalists or Heisman Trophy winners.
All right, what am I missing on Stetson Bennett as a punk or his personality? What? You're going to get people hate tweeting. We already have like Georgia Bulldogs fans hate tweeting us because apparently we hate Stetson Bennett on the show. I'm like, I like Stetson Bennett.
Oh, I am not the
personality
that came up with the punk word. I am not the one who is saying that.
No, I know you're not. Who was it? I totally missed this.
It was Eric Ainge.
Okay.
On the Eric Ainge show, talking about how Stetson Bennett is a punk, how he didn't like Stetson Bennett, and look like. You know, it's a quarterback of your rival school. Like, I get it. I understand. Like, they're a team that beats you, that has beaten you the past couple of years. I understand. It doesn't always have to be, you know, sunshine and rainbows with opposing teams that you play. But let's give credit where credit is due, and let's give respect where it's due.
Big time.
Yeah,
no question about it. He's a heck of a player.
No question about it. So, congratulations to the Georgia Bulldogs. Dominant last night against TCU. Caroline, Todd Downing fired yesterday as offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. Titans also firing Keith Carter, Anthony Midgett, and Eric Frazier along with Downing. What did you make of the moves made yesterday by Mike Vrabel as it relates to the coaching staff?
Well, I mean, those are moves that needed to be made. Absolutely needed to be made. And yesterday in Mike Vrabel's press conference, I was getting so frustrated because he was so noncommittal and so 50-50 and so one foot in, one foot out with really any coach or player that we asked about. Ryan Tannehill, you know, it was a weird commitment but also non-commitment to Ryan Tannehill, saying, well, if Ryan was healthy, he would have been our starting quarterback. Like, no, yeah, Mike, like, we get that, but what about moving forward? With Todd Downing saying, you know, we need to take our time and evaluate the coaching staff and their performance, which is so, you know, different than the message that he gives us every single day of everybody gets evaluated every day, every week on Sunday, everybody gets evaluated. We reevaluate everyone every single day. So I'm thinking, what more do you have to evaluate with Todd Downing? This is one of the worst offenses in the NFL. You need to evaluate more? And then I think that was a total Mike Vrabel chess move to get up in front of the media, almost gaslight the media about, you know, this long, you know, few days ahead of thinking and evaluating, and then he just goes ahead and fires him a few hours later. It was a move that needed to happen. I kind of got the sense that he was going to fire Keith Carter in the press conference yesterday when he's talking about when he kept up bringing the offensive line, you know, the fact that injuries and turnovers were a problem. And he mentions, well, if you get protection on the quarterback, you know, you're not going to get injured and you're not going to turn the ball over. I think that Mike Vrabel looked at the offensive line as a core, as one of the reasons, one of the root reasons as to why this team struggled so much. So I think that was a little bit of a peek behind the curtain to me that Keith Carter was probably on the chopping block. But those are moves that absolutely needed to happen. And I think if Mike Vrabel retained Todd Downing, we all would have raised an eyebrow about, okay, Mike Vrabel, your job isn't necessarily safe. Why do you think, what has Todd Downing done to deserve a spot on this coaching staff? What has he done to keep his job? But I think that Mike Vrabel firing Todd Downing, it's a symbol of, okay, we're moving forward. We're going to find something better. And next year, we're taking steps forward.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, the O-line. Of course, it could also be looked at as, you know, just a personnel complaint because the personnel was terrible this year. Once, you know, I don't know what Keith Carter is going to do with Dennis Daly as the O-line coach, but regardless, they made the moves, and I hear you on Downing. I also would say Vrabel's the one who picked him, right? And so Vrabel should be accountable for all these things too. And I'm going to be really interested if this is just ends up with Tim Kelly or someone else. What do you think they should do at OC? How do you think Vrabel should proceed with that?
I think the best possible scenario is if Vrabel just gets a little bit outside of his comfort zone and looks around the NFL to see what other potential offensive coordinators are. Because, yeah, it's an obvious move to promote Tim Kelly, the offensive coordinator, right? Like, that's something obvious that was all on our minds whenever Todd Downing got fired is, oh, is Tim Kelly the heir apparent? But I think the best thing for this team is just go a little bit outside your comfort zone. Go explore and see, you know, what new, young, fresh minds could have to offer, because this is an offense that it really could go in completely different directions. You know, do they move forward with Ryan Tannehill as the starting quarterback? Do they move forward with Derrick Henry? Is he going to continue to be a staple of this offense moving forward? Those are all really big questions that Mike Vrabel has to ask himself, and I think that he needs the right offensive coordinator with a really up-to-date way of thinking in order to kind of help him through that transition. It's not going to be an easy transition if you do decide to completely change your offensive style, if you do decide to move forward without Derrick Henry when you've been a run offense for the past 3-4 years, and now you're going to change that. You're getting rid of your staple player, of your foundational player, of the player that you've been running your entire offense through. And that's not to say that I think that they are, but it absolutely is on the table. You know, Mike Vrabel was kind of some weird comments about Derrick Henry yesterday. And I don't know if that's like a kick in the butt to Derrick, and I don't know if that's an indication of what's to come. But I think the best possible thing is at least look outside, look elsewhere. If you want to hire your buddy because you think he's the best possible candidate for the job, then great. But at least do your due diligence and at least do your homework.
Well, to that point, Caroline, you know, you had all that going on yesterday. You had the piece that the Jim Wyatt came out with at TennesseeTitans.com, kind of talking about the GM search and the role that the GM will have, and A.B. Adams Strunk in that piece, essentially saying that Vrabel and the new GM, whenever that person is hired, will both be reporting to her, and that's a little bit of a different setup than it typically is, with the head coach usually reporting to the general manager. So what did you make of that, and what that means for, I guess, the role of Vrabel and the role of the general manager as they move forward?
Yeah, and they've been continuing to use, both Amy Adams Strunk and Mike Vrabel have continued to use the word collaborative.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of been like a fallback word almost whenever, you know, you ask, okay, what's going to be your role moving forward? What's going to be your relationship with the GM? It's an easy word to say, collaborative. But I think that absolutely is an indication that Mike Vrabel is going to be playing a larger role, that Mike Vrabel is going to have, you know, more of a say when it comes to talent evaluation, when it comes to personnel. But my question is just how much bigger is it? Who has final say? Is Mike Vrabel have, you know, a larger say and he's more involved within the talent evaluation process and the player acquisition process, the drafting process, but the GM still gets final say? Okay, that's one thing. Or is the GM just going to be somebody that fills a role just to be there. And Mike Vrabel is the new, you know, Pete Carroll, Andy Reid, Bill Belichick. And it's really like, okay, we have a GM, but I have final say, but I run things. I don't know to the extent of it, of what it's going to be, if Mike Vrabel does have final say, but I think he absolutely is going to have more of a say, considering that he's, you know, reporting to Amy Adams Strunk, and also the collaboration word, I think, is something that they all cooked up to make it a whole lot easier to answer some of these questions.
So is that good or bad?
If he has a bigger say?
Yeah.
That's a good question, and I don't like it. You know, I don't like it. You know, Andy Reid can do it. Andy Reid has won Super Bowls playing that kind of role. Andy Reid's also been a head coach in the NFL for a really long time. Bill Belichick does it. It was successful for years, and now he's without his starting quarterback, and we're seeing kind of how that has worked out with Bill Belichick and the Patriots ever since Tom Brady left. So I think that it would take a really specific head coach to be able to play both roles, to be able to wear both hats and do it effectively. I don't know if Mike Vrabel has been in the NFL long enough or is familiar with the, you know, the GM side of things, talent evaluation, talent acquisition, in order to play in both roles. That, you know, his roles aren't just, okay, let's come up with a game plan on Monday and let's do what we need to do in practice to execute that game plan and communicate that game plan. But, oh, yeah, also, you know, you're going to the Senior Bowl. And, oh, yeah, also, we've got a whole stack of film of some left tackle out of Maryland that I need you to look at. You know, it's just an added layer of responsibility. I'm not saying Mike Vrabel can't do it. I'm just saying that's a really big undertaking, and I don't know if that necessarily helps the football team.
Well, Caroline, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll be listening at 11 o'clock.
Awesome. Appreciate y'all. Have a good one.
You as well. Sure. Caroline Fenton, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row, joins us every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. We'll get into the general manager search and what it could mean for the Titans and Mike Vrabel specifically as we look ahead here coming up next segment. Take your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. So a lot happening yesterday with the Tennessee Titans. We've discussed the firing of Todd Downing and the firing of four staffers yesterday by the Tennessee Titans. And, Joe, it was locker room cleanout day. Vrabel speaking. A lot going on yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. And before all that, Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com came out with a piece on the website where, in that piece, Amy Adams Strunk was, I guess, providing an update on the general manager search, what exactly has been going on that front, what will continue to happen on that front. Quote, we cast a wide net. We're going to interview just as many people as we need to. I have a lot of people I want to interview, so it's going to be pretty extensive, the quote from Amy Adams Strunk. And we've talked about this morning how in this piece it's clear that Amy Adams Strunk is expecting both Mike Vrabel and the general manager, whoever that person ends up being, to report to her. Now, reporting to her is not necessarily the news there, but in that order, usually it's the general manager kind of in charge there. What did you make of what has come out in this piece from TennesseeTitans.com and what those roles, the way they've been defined by Amy Adams Strunk, could mean for the Titans, could mean for Mike Vrabel, and ultimately the new general manager, whoever that person may end up being at the end of this process?
Well, First of all, you read these quotes and it's like, okay, so is this to say that this is not how it was before? You know, she talks about, you know, graded talent evaluator, decision maker, all that stuff. I also want someone who's a collaborator, someone who's able to find and build consensus to get the best answers for the team, someone who's open innovation and evaluating talent beyond the traditional avenues, just really a talented person in all areas. But more than anything, I want someone that can collaborate. That is super important to me, being able to find this person who can collaborate so we're all working together, rowing the same direction, end quote. I don't know if that's, like, you know, throwing shade at John Robinson and how things were before, but it's just interesting that you know, she was that adamant about it. And there's another quote after that also uses the word collaboration. Mike Vrabel used it too.
Yeah.
So, but whether it's speaking on the past or not, you know, it speaks to a GM and coach who are technically equal, which again still begs the question of, okay, I promise you that those two people won't always have the exact same thought on this player or that player. Sometimes you have a first-round pick, and you may have a pick who could be a generational player, and you may have an absolute bust, and one person likes one and one person likes the other. So who wins? You know, that's not something that's being answered right now, but it is a change, absolutely. And it's just it makes it official. I know that everybody assumed this would be the case when John Robinson got fired, but we didn't really know until this came out. Amy Ann Strunk has talked to Teresa Walker, and she has given this interview with Jim Wyatt and hasn't taken questions. I guess figured out hasn't taken questions from media since the Jeff Simmons drafting. So this is what you're going to get. But this is confirmation that Vrabel has more power, and I don't know if that's good or bad. It may not be good.
Well, it could go a lot of different ways when it comes to the head coach having more power. As far as the general manager search is concerned, that is an interesting part of this that you brought up earlier, Joe, of if you're one of these candidates in the candidate pool that Amy Adams Strunk is looking for, how do you feel about heading into a situation like this where I think it's pretty clear, at minimum, the head coach is going to have significant power in personnel decisions? Will they have final say? I don't know. I don't know if Vrabel's going to have final say. I don't know that he wants final say. I don't know anything about what that process is going to look like. But that would certainly be a question that I'd be asking if I were one of these general manager candidates. And, look, I'm not saying that you drive candidates off, because at the end of the day, as multiple people have brought up, it is one of 32 jobs in the National Football League where you're a general manager. So I think that's going to be hard for people to pass up. But that would be a question that I'd be throwing out there if I'm a potential candidate for GM, whether that be an in-house candidate, and there's a couple of reported candidates there, both in Ryan Cowden, obviously, and in Monty Ossenfort that was thrown out there yesterday, or an external candidate. Those would be questions I'd be asking.
Yeah, and there's different levels, too. We've talked about that, but like final say on the roster.
Yep.
You know, at the end of camp is one thing that coaches have, but you know, if your entire job is finding players for a football team and you have an entire staff of scouts and personnel people and it's all you do, I mean, you are constantly studying players and you have to have a complete knowledge of everybody who's in the league and everybody who might be coming in the league. And then when it comes down to it, all your work, which it boils down to, you know, really like just a few days of the year when you make these massive decisions. If then all of a sudden, not that Vrabel isn't going to be involved in those things, but he's not Belichick. He's not the GM. So then if it boils down to, the coach likes this guy better, sorry. That doesn't sound great. I mean, that's not a great situation. You're right. And like Mike Sando said on the show, like, well, doesn't mean you're not going to get someone good because you can be a GM in the NFL. But I'd be really – I mean, Vrabel is obviously a very strong-willed person, very big personality. And I would be – if I was one of those people, I'd be very questioning of the whole situation and wanting to make sure that I would have some power and autonomy.
Fingus on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, what has Vrabel done to deserve a bigger say in the GM side of things? Don't say he went to the AFC Championship or won Coach of the Year. Reed and Pete Carroll have won Super Bowls. This would only happen with the Titans, getting a solid head coach and then going absolutely nuts over him to the point of giving him possibly GM responsibilities. Pathetic. This from Fingus on the text line.
And look, maybe they both report to Amy, but the new GM will have final say.
Could be.
This was not discussed in the story by Jim Wyatt on the Titans official site. And that's going to be so much fun to be asking these questions and get no answers for
yeah,
years. It's going to be amazing.
I can tell you're already looking forward to
it.
Yeah,
it's going to be great.
Good time out there. So Mike Herndon from PaulKuharsky.com has kind of cobbled together the list of reported candidates that are out there for the Titans and their general manager search. And I mentioned Cowden and Ossenfort that are in-house candidates, apparently, that have been reported out there yesterday. You've got Rand Carthen from the Niners, Adam Peters from the Niners, Glenn Cook from the Browns, Ian Cunningham from the Bears, Malik Boyd from the Bills, and Quentin Harris from the Cardinals are the list of reported Titans candidates that are out there for general manager, and that is a current list. What do you make of the list that Herndon put together and the reports that we saw yesterday that were out there as it relates to the Titans GM search?
Well, I'm a little confused here. I thought the Titans did a TV feature on Stretch.
Well,
where is he on this list?
Not mentioned.
Jared?
Not mentioned.
Where is Stretch?
But he was the genuine Titan. At one point.
Is that what it was called?
The genuine Titan.
Yes, John Stryker. Who, by the way, will have an important role in the organization.
He will.
No, is not a GM candidate. Jared. Yeah, it's a good list. In terms of people from, successful organizations and, I don't know, I saw people throwing out every year. It's like, what about Lewis Riddick? Hey, Lewis Riddick could be probably a good GM too.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. I don't have it's got to be this person over that person. I mean, it's do the interviews. And I think the Niners in particular, two people from the Niners, and I think the Niners in particular, you look at what they've done to build that team and not be a team that's dependent on having one of those superstar quarterbacks to be a great team. I think that's an interesting place to look.
I think it's a very interesting place to look. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans, the general manager search, the firing of Todd Downing, everything on the table for the Titans at 615-737-1025. We'll have more of that coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, and it is wild card weekend coming up. One of the games that I'm taking a look at is the Chargers in Jacksonville this weekend. It's a pick'em on Superbook Sports. Actually, the Chargers are favored by one in Jacksonville. But listen, that home crowd was pretty full last weekend. So I think that they are going to have a great home field advantage. So give me the Jags. They're rolling right now. So give me the Jags plus the one. But listen, Superbook wants you to add this to your New Year's resolution. Win money in 2023 with Superbook Sports. Superbook has over three decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you get the best odds boost anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Plus, check out their special odds boosts and promotions at superbook.com. Make 2023 the year when you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sportsbook app and place your bets today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for your chance to participate in Pred's Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Pred's player that scores the goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Pred's home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. By the way, listeners have taken the lead in the competition. I thought I took the lead, and then Matt Duchesne was offside yesterday. So that was a tough one.
That's right. You had Duchesne, yeah. Well, that's toughy.
That was a toughie. We'll see how that goes tomorrow. Predators general manager David Poyle joining us at 8 o'clock today here on the show. So looking forward to that. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. John in Thompson Station asking the question, are there any restrictions to interviewing the GM candidates whose team is in the playoffs? This from John in Thompson Station on the text line. So going with either the Bills or the Niners, teams like that that are in the playoffs, are there any restrictions to interviewing those general manager candidates?
I mean, there's rules on it. I mean, I honestly,
I think if you get permission from the team, which typically
it's a good question, but I mean, it's
different from a coach, right? Because like if you're a coach, you're preparing for the game, so you're like the general manager and front office personnel. I mean, your work is largely done at this point other than looking ahead to the draft and free agency coming up. So I would assume it's probably a little bit more easier to talk to people like that than it would be a coach this time of year in the playoffs, but maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, it's after the – okay, so the rule is after the regular season. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, which makes sense because you still – like you said, I mean, you still you'd be out there acquiring players and whatnot. You know, you have your – duties during regular season. Once it's over, yeah, it's basically you're just hoping your team wins.
Yeah,
for the most part, cheering them on, walking around the field before the game.
Got a text that says maybe letting Vrabel have final say isn't as bad as we think. I mean, he did say AJ would remain on the team as long as he's coach, and then our general manager traded him. This is from a texter
that
on the text
true.
Line. That is a good point.
Well, someone else brought up. Maddie says Ackerman for GM. Or Ackerman, but I think she meant Ackerman.
Jared handling that one well.
Just losing his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all he wanted for, you know, for the new year was him to be fired.
Shout out to Craig Ackerman for making it through.
Yeah. Yeah, someone brought up, and I'm trying to find it, and I've lost it. But, you know, why is this bad? I don't know that it's bad. Vrabel's smart. Vrabel's a good coach. So maybe Vrabel picking players is better. Maybe it will
be
better for that. I don't know that it won't be. I just feel like coaching is a big, big job, you know? And, of course, like someone put on the text line, the Bill Parcells famous, if I'm going to be cooking the meal, then I want to pick the groceries, you know?
Sure.
That's all these coaches pretty much at some point have that thought, right? All it takes is a few bad decisions by your GM that you disagreed with, A.J. Brown perhaps, you know, where you're like, God, like, I would not have done that, and we'd be in way better shape right now if we hadn't done that. So I understand the impulse, but it doesn't mean – like, I just don't know what Vrabel will be. I just feel like it's a big job to be a coach, and I also feel like the GM who has power, if you have a good one and you have two people – and frankly, I think the whole quote from Amy Adams Strunk about collaboration is a good one. I mean, that's what you want, but it still comes down to, like, there's still that question, you know? And if you're a GM who does all that work and then doesn't ultimately get to make the choices, I don't know. I think that's a really – you have to really find a great partnership for that to work. And I think it's kind of like the way Sean Payton and they had it in New Orleans is reportedly like that.
Yeah.
Worked out pretty well.
It did. I mean,
but
I would say, like, we got a question earlier on the text line, like – about Vrabel, shouldn't he have say with the roster? I think he should. Like, I think Mike Vrabel should have input. I think he does have input and has had input.
He's had input.
I also think that if you hire a general manager that you feel good about, shouldn't part of what you feel good about be their ability to identify, whether it's in the draft or free agency or via trade, whatever it is, talent to bring in, and that either that you develop or that you can just see scouting wise that person has a chance to be a good player for you. Like, to me, that's why you're trying to hire the best general manager candidate possible, is for them to do that and to handle that job. So again, I'm not saying Vrabel shouldn't have say, because I think he should he have final say, I guess, is the question. Like, to me, if you're hiring the best possible general manager candidate, shouldn't you at least believe that they know what they're doing enough to maybe give them the final say on the roster? That's I don't know. It's throwing it out there.
Yeah, I mean that's the interesting thing. It's like that's their entire. You go through the years of scouting everything. And that's you are building up to try to get a job like that. And the whole idea is that you are the expert. That's your expertise. Now, coaching the players is expertise, and of course they cross over, especially coaches crossing over into personnel matters. Of course they do. I mean, if you're a good coach, you've been around the league. Vrabel's a great player, coach, all that. You have an eye, I'm sure, for what can work an NFL team. But it just gets really interesting when you get down to that big disagreement on a big decision, you know? And it's Ben Robinson. And look, I mean, I've got people. There's people saying, hey, people still think that Robinson was a problem. And then there's people saying, so here you go. This is the proof that Robinson was the problem. I mean, ultimately, they've made a lot of mistakes over the years, and it cost him his job. Again, you tell me that Vrabel disagreed with all the bad ones and agreed with all the good. Was Vrabel in total agreement on all the 2019 picks that were awesome?
Yeah.
Or like this last draft was pretty good. Was this more Vrabel was like, yes, but all the bad ones was, no, what are you doing?
Caleb Farley.
We don't have a scoreboard. We don't have a scoreboard. Yeah, exactly. Like we don't have a score sheet on this or that, but I just think a really good GM is going to be more attracted to a job if he thinks he can do the job.
Isaiah Wilson, never heard of him.
Yeah. What are you doing? I didn't approve that.
Bo from Murfreesboro on the text line says, I hear Vrabel is a great coach just about every day. If he's under 500 the next 2 years, is he still a great coach? This from Bo from Murfreesboro on the text line. Well, I mean, part of that does depend on what the roster looks like, right? I mean, if you decide to go rebuilding here, then it's going to be a little bit of a different approach.
Yeah, that right? Record may go the wrong way.
Yeah. But I hear what Bo's saying. Like, it started to go the wrong way this year. Now, is that on Vrabel? Is that on Robinson? There's a lot of different ways you could go with it. The more I think about it, and I felt this way reading the piece by Jim Wyatt yesterday, and when Vrabel got up there and started talking about collaboration and collaborative, all these different words, one of my first thoughts was, okay, so with as much as y'all are using that word, like, was it not the case with John Robinson? Was he just like
– That's why I asked it yesterday. I mean, my whole intent wasn't like, let's talk about – last year, but he brought it up, and I just read this press release. I'm like, so was it bad last year?
Yeah, like,
and yeah, of course, like, we're gonna talk moving forward. So he didn't confirm that it wasn't, you know. Yeah, I don't know. It's, but it almost also seems a little bit like let's put as much blame as we can on the person who's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, if you're a Titans fan, you could sit there and say, "Whoo, Robinson and Downey, it was all their fault. They're gone. Everything's gonna be great." I don't know if that's true. And I don't think it's true that it was all on them.
Just found it really interesting that that's the word that they kept, you know, throwing around there as if collaboration is just something that's not existed like with them before.
Robinson was just totally went rogue and was just like, no, earmuffs, don't tell me what you think.
I have no idea. Maybe he did. But, like, I find that hard to believe, and I found that really interesting yesterday. I mean, collaboration was the buzzword yesterday that was being used.
And even if it's not basically trying to say that it wasn't collaborative enough before, what does it actually mean?
Right.
What does this collaboration mean? Like it's just, hey, look, is it like, okay, this one's your turn. Okay, I get the first round, the third round, and the fifth round. You get the second, fourth, and sixth.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, ideally, you have a bunch of smart people who really know what they're doing, and they can all come to a consensus on things. But it just doesn't work that way. There's going to be disagreements. And it could be on a decision that could, like, send your franchise one way or the other. That's how big some of these choices are.
Well, and look, I'll say this. I really do. I think Mike Vrabel is a great coach. I think he's really good at his job. And I think the Titans have found a really good coach. So, you know, I was going way back to when they fired Mullarkey and hired him. I'll admit it. I mean, I was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you firing the only guy that's won a playoff game for you in the last decade and a half? What's going on here? But it was the right move. Like it's a move, by the way, that John Robinson made to hire Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
And so I think it's worked out well, obviously. I think he's a really good coach. But I will say this. When you make the move to fire the general manager and now apparently giving Vrabel, at the very minimum, more say, more power, if things don't get better, the blame all of a sudden starts to shift, and it shifts to Mike Vrabel as they move forward. So, and that's part of what comes with it when you have, number one, when you've been around longer, and number two, when you have more power, you also get more of the blame if things don't go well. And Vrabel, for the most part, hasn't really had a whole lot of blame, nor has he deserved, in my opinion, a ton of blame based on what's happened to this point through his tenure, and that could change if things don't turn around. Given the new role.
It's way more on him now. But good and bad.
Yeah.
But if it's bad, it's way more on him now.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. We'll have Predators general manager David Poyle at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Glorious, I love it, 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 I love it,
Need to clip that up, that's for sure. Play that many times in the future.
Please
don't. Would be great.
No, what happens in the 6 o'clock hour is not clippable. That should be a rule on this show.
And it's that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's Rant of the Day. You can check it out every morning at 7:45.
Keep hoping you'll lose that.
It's here to stay.
Somehow forget that exists.
Yeah. I keep being thankful that we don't lose it and we don't forget that it exists.
You got David Poyle coming up. Maybe we ask him. What does David Poyle think about Glorious Domination?
I have no clue. No idea.
Does he have any say in that?
No clue. Yeah.
We know how Sean Henry feels.
We do.
So I really want to continue the discussion on the Titans and Vrabel and everything. There was a lot to unpack from yesterday. One thing that just kind of bothered me, this may be just like Vrabel's talking about stuff, and he just sort of, you know, I mean, sometimes I do this all the time, just talk and just something pops into my head and then words come out. As you know, I don't plan a lot. It just sort of tumbles out of my mouth.
You don't, okay? You don't contribute a lot in the pre-show meeting. It's a little early for you.
Yeah, well, I like to sit there and then Izzo starts yelling I just feel like I should be a wallflower and take it all in. I just want to read this quote from, first of all, this is Vrabel yesterday. I think this was Glennon's question about what Todd Downing has done best. Like, what would you say you do well here? But the question basically is, and this is Vrabel's answer. Quote, there's a consistency. We've built the offense around Derek. We've had a lot of success in that regard. We have to protect our quarterback better. When you don't protect the quarterback, they get hurt or they turn the ball over. We have to do that. We have to take care of the football. We gave it to our best player, and he just turned it over this year. He had not in the past. There are a lot of factors that go into performance, and we will look at everything, end quote. That was just one of those yesterday of all the things that happened. That, when he said that, I was like, oh, gosh. Like, just calling out Derek Henry. Yeah. Vrabel's a huge, you know, don't talk about someone's specific injuries. Don't really talk about their specific performance. If you get asked about their specific performance, yeah, a little bit of good, a little bit of bad.
Yeah.
Could have been better, never perfect. Just asked about Todd Downing. Who, by the way, he was evaluating, and then, like, apparently the press release is already written that he's about to be fired.
Vrabel went to lunch and fired him when he got back.
Oh, hey, Todd, you're fired. Okay. You guys got that press release ready? But it's all about Downing yesterday. And then he goes into Derrick Henry. Again, I mean, look, it's not like it's untrue. And the fact is, Derrick Henry's fumbles against Jacksonville and Houston, if you take one of them back, you probably are in the playoffs this week. So you could boil it down to that if you want.
Sure.
You could also say Derrick Henry ran for 1,500 yards behind that freaking offensive line. Holy crap.
Yeah, and still was like third in rushing in the league or something.
Second.
Oh, he was that? He didn't get second. So, yep, there we are.
It's just I'm listening to that. I'm like, whoa, Vrabel all of a sudden go out and taking shots at players, including the best player who, like, they've so much of Vrabel's success. And think about 2018. Think about 2019. Think about when things started to change. I'm sorry, 2018, his first year. You know, it's his first year, but, you know, things weren't going especially well. They weren't very good. Like, basically, if you look at all that Vrabel has done, and I agree with you, Vrabel is a very good coach. If I were the Titans, I'd be paying him. I'd be keeping him. I'd want him here coaching my football team. But how much of Vrabel's success has been directly tied to the performance of Derrick Henry?
A significant amount.
A lot of it. So, I don't know if that necessarily means watch out for Derrick Henry being somewhere else next year. I think that's taking too much of a leap. And it's, again, not that it's untrue. It's just un-Vrabel-like to do something like that. And so I had to wonder, what does that mean?
Yeah, it made me raise my eyebrows a little bit too when he said that. And again, like you said, it's not like he's saying anything that's not true. And you know this better than I do. Derrick Henry would be the first one to tell you that he can't fumble the ball as much as he fumbled it this past year.
Very
self-critical. And he's talked about it. So everything that he said is true. But it was a little out of the ordinary from what Vrabel typically does in a press conference. And I'll build on that. It's amazing to me the more I think about it. And this goes back to even the Shane Bowen discussion a couple of years ago, and ultimately it's proved to be the right move to make him the defensive coordinator. But when he was under fire and he was getting criticized left and right, Vrabel, not really big on criticizing his own coaches, right? And look, I get it. It's the media. I understand that he really doesn't really want to be doing it in the first place. I get all that.
Right.
But, like, even yesterday, he had to know heading into that press conference that he was going to fire Todd Downing and those three other guys. I mean, there's no way he's just like after the press conference, like, you know what? Man, I'm going to fire these guys.
This Caesar salad is pretty good, and I'm going to fire four coaches.
I'm going to fire four coaches. So obviously he knew that heading up to the podium yesterday. And, I mean, there wasn't really even a hint of criticism for Downing's performance as offensive coordinator and went right back to the players. And I do find that, and I get it, offensive line's got to be better. Like I said, there's a lot of what Vrabel says is true. I don't know that I can really think of an example of him taking it to specific coaches on his staff.
Never.
Yeah. But,
and again, not too often with players either.
Right.
But more this year with players. Nicholas Petit-Frere called him out, calling out certain mistakes. I mean, even really, like, we're going to get some guys in here who can protect the quarterback. So, basically,
the entire offensive line.
So basically saying that the offensive line stinks. I mean, that was a prevailing theme. You know, Ben Arthur asked him a good question yesterday about his own performance. What about just your performance? Here's a quote. Quote, "I think with the ability to play with 23 guys on a practice squad or from the street out of 48, you look at how competitive you are." So he immediately goes defensive and, you know, like, I was awesome. That's my aside. I'll go back to the quote. Quote, "I didn't do a good enough job. We lost too many games. Those things will come. That self-reflection will come. Nobody would evaluate they did a good enough job because we didn't win. How I try to lead, the connection I make with the players counts. But ultimately, you're only defined by one thing, and that's whether you win or not. Short answer is that it wasn't good enough," end quote. But there's nothing specific in terms of – there's nothing specific in terms of, you know, criticizing self or, like you said, coaches at all, ever.
Yeah. It's just – it's interesting.
But Derrick Henry fumbled. Let's make sure to throw that in a question about a coach.
Yes. Also scored, like, what, 75% of your offensive touchdowns this year because nobody else could?
Yeah.
Chris from Atlanta on the text line says, "Trust me, boys, Vrabel calling out the players yesterday caught the fans' ears. Got another texter that says, Joe, I think it was a message to the team that he's firing warning shots at the bell cow for the team and that this offseason y'all better get your stuff together. And now that he has some player personnel control or personal control, he feels more comfortable doing it because he went at Fulton and Long on injuries being weak basically as well. I mean, we're going to get into the injury part of this tomorrow on the show, but you know, he's talked about the repeat offenders before with soft tissue injuries. He's like, yeah, it doesn't take a genius to look at Christian Fulton and David Long. They deal with soft tissue injuries.
Yeah. Now, I will say, I'll argue with one point there. I don't think he was saying they're weak. No. I think he's saying that they're – because he mentioned Byard. I think he's saying they're not doing whatever it – maybe what they're asked or whatever right. You need to do to not have those. I don't think he's saying they're weak, but certainly called them out. And as Dennis said – so called out practice squad player Jaden Peavy yesterday, too. Make sure to get a shot in at him, too.
Yeah, that I almost giggled a bit.
Just so you know, Peavy, you don't work hard enough. There's another one of you coming around somewhere. I mean, again, a lot of what he's saying is
you're
right.
You're not special, Peavy.
It's true.
It's pretty funny. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators General Manager David Poyle. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3.